conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon. Your ceiling is my floor, and I don't have a ladder.
I would tune in. That was so good. I'm not a housewife, but I've seen all their tits.
I knew it. This is going to be rated NC-17. Like, I know it.
I'm sorry.
I know it.
I'm not a housewife, but I've seen all their fucking boobs.
There we go. Oh, you guys, we just got PG-13. Thank you for that upgrade. And on that note, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 301.
Where does the time go?
Where does the time go? I don't know.
I remember when you were two digits.
It's been a minute since this guest has returned to the People's People's Couch, and I forced him to come to the Upper East Side because I said, listen, bitch, I have a clawfis and we're using it.
She wanted that. I was like, let's do remote.
No, and I said, absolutely not. If you're in the tri-state area, you are driving here. I literally was...
Tri-state area. Good to know. I'm moving to Pennsylvania.
No. I'm on an email thread with a Bravo Lebs team about, and I was like, I'm sorry. It has to be in person.
Wow.
I don't care. Wow. I love a claw fist.
Well, you still get to be here when it's remote. You know, that doesn't mean you have to go to my house and use a computer.
But the edit, doing an remote edit versus put it up and whatever happens, happens. A remote, because you have to tighten everything and God forbid there's a half second delay. It takes me hours.
I'm tighter remote than I ever am going to be here.
Well, I'll keep that in mind, but we are loosen things up. It's Annie's Girls 301, as I said, and I am so excited for this to return guest who maybe hasn't been here since 10.
She's
15.
Literally checking her Instagram while she's saying how excited she is.
Shut up. No, I was looking at your intro. Shut the fuck up. This is going to be absolutely insane. Writer, performer, most recently the director of Countess and Friends, who announced that show on Andy's Girls back in the day. I remember we were sitting at the original People's couch and you were like, I have an announcement. And I was like, okay.
Didn't believe me. Listeners were like, he's full of shit.
I didn't think it was going to happen. But anyway, Ben Rimmelauer has returned. Ben Rimmelauer, how are we?
Oh, God, I'm glad I'm back.
let's take a moment. How long ago was that? Would have been 4 years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, when I made the announcement on your show, it was probably 4.5 years or right. 5 years or something. But it was 4 years ago that we were... the first performances were over 4 years ago.
Did you have any idea, any concept in the run up to the original show at 54 Below? And Damien and I went to the very first performance she had ever done, which you obviously directed. Do you have any idea about how it was going to take off, even when you were in rehearsals?
Rehearsals.
I mean,
that's a good one. I knew that. I don't know. You know, it's funny. It's almost like I wasn't thinking about that because I'm the person that does think about that kind of thing. I guess the answer is no. I didn't have any idea. I knew that it was going to be sold out and I knew that it was going to be on TV. And from my world, that was very exciting. So I was very pumped in that way. But I did not have this sense of like, oh, 2 years down the line, I'll be like at the Mirage in Vegas, like sound checking. I never would have thought that, you know.
And you were in several episodes as the show, meaning the cabaret show, evolved. Did that change the nature of how you guys were like doing your work? Did it become almost a little bit of like a playtime when production was there? Or did it feel like we're inviting you into the space of stuff that we're doing on this day and you're going to capture it?
It was a mix of all things. There were times when it was a fucking bullshit dog and pony show for the cameras. Not at all a real situation.
Love that.
A number of those times. And then there were times when they kind of invaded our real production. Not invaded. I mean, I was thrilled. I was opening up every vein and orifice whenever they wanted entry. But, you know, but there was times when we were doing our thing and they were just there following it. And then I guess there were times also when... I don't know what else I'm trying to say. But yeah, I mean, all of those things happened.
And I went to, you were so generous and kind to invite me to the finale taping for whatever season that was.
You know, the Bitch Sesh girls were up my ass. Please, please, can we come? I said, no, I've got your spot for Sarah Galley. I'm so sorry.
Wow. And that absolutely happened, guys. That is not a lie that he is saying to be sassy. Just to make sure that we're all on the same page here. That absolutely occurred. And so we were at the finale part when it was, I don't even remember what was happening, but something with Tinsley.
Oh, the first.
Dorinda walked out.
The Giovanni night.
That was the Giovanni night. Yeah, right. So I got to witness the glory. That was
because you came to the very first show.
Which
and then
wasn't
that
filmed.
Was again a week later or two nights later. I don't even remember. It was very shortly after.
Right. It was a couple days later.
Because just when the camera started telling us how many seats they needed to kill in order to accommodate, not the cameras. When the producers told us how many seats they needed to kill for the cameras and the cast and everything, it was like we were already so sold out. And 54 Below was like fuck you.
Yeah. 100%.
So we were like, well, we'll just add another show. Did you come to both or did you come to the first
one?
No,
I came to the first one, which wasn't recorded. And then the party, which was following when they went to the show, which looked like it was opening, but it was actually technically a couple performances.
By Broadway parlance, you could have called the first one the preview.
It was. I did go to the preview. And there was a little bit of a difference between Lou's preview and Sonia's preview, which I did go to her friends
Sonia
and family.
Sonia previewed a little more when everybody was there.
I mean, both when she was on stage at your show, and then also I saw the friends and family quasi dress rehearsal for her improv show.
You mean the new Sonia in your city?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's forget everything we've just said, and now you need to tell me all about that show.
It was, I don't know how to encapsulate it except to say that it's like, you know, remember when Friends was like must-see TV? This is like every idea of must-see, because it is actually indescribable. And she was, I don't know if it was a purposeful choice, and I've heard it's different since, and also because she's like sold it and it's on the road, it's now become a different thing. But like
on the road in big venues,
like
she's playing a lot of the places that we played like with Countess and Friends when it was like a machine. Like, there's nothing machine-like about Ms. Morgan.
And it felt purposefully that. Like, she was directed by people who, you know.
Does she even have people?
She had people on stage who were kind of like, and then you do this, and then you do that. And she just honestly.
On stage with her during the show telling her that?
Yeah, she was never alone. Yeah, but it was an ensemble piece. It wasn't just like Sonia. It wasn't stand-up comedy. It really was sort of like comedic. Commedia dell'arte cab burlesque kind of stuff.
Those are just some sounds. Those don't have English meaning.
Which is exactly my point. Like it's not definable. But
so it's not like going to like Groundlings or something.
Definitely not. It is not improv comedy at all.
Is it comedy?
I mean,
I understand that. I'm sure you laughed.
it's loopy. Comedy. And again, I cannot more highly encourage that people see it. I'm not joking when I say I want AGs to go, guys. Like, buy your tickets and go, and then send me satchels of gold. Like, send me your thoughts and feels, critique about whatever has taken place.
Somebody, by the way, brought that up to me, satchels of gold, last week, and got it so wrong. It was nothing remotely like satchels
of
gold.
Bags of cash?
Like, even further out, but I knew exactly what they meant.
I mean, there was no more surreal moment, to be honest, than being on stage at AG 300 saying to Kelly Killorn-Benzman, who I have introduced. You've been here for when I don't know if satchels of gold were created when you had guested on the show. I don't remember when we started doing that, but we introduced it as.
Well,
like,
I mean, it was in like, the run of. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, I think it was. I think I was not with you before that. That was like season three or something.
Right. No. But the Andy's Girls version of Satchels of Gold, which is like the official title for listeners.
Oh,
right.
I don't even know where you were.
It was a couple years ago, but I don't remember how many years ago. And so it's listener thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. And the way that I always introduce it is inspired by Her Holiness Kelly Killorn-Benzman. So then I'm on stage with fucking Kelly Killorn-Benzman and I'm like, I have a satchel of gold for you.
That's meta.
No, it was wild. But
you know, I met her a couple of times, I think, when she came to Luann's show.
Oh.
And I always, in person, I just found her completely down to earth.
She's
and
so
sweet
charming.
And interesting
100%.
And smart, like great.
I met her at the first show, at Lou's first ever show.
That makes sense.
She was there for that.
Maybe out of all of those
easiest.
Yeah, and I, having watched the show, I mean, I certainly thought she would be the craziest, you know.
And she's not at all. I mean, the thing is that, like, there is the idea of the perception of somebody on TV and then the perception plus also, like, reality of working with them. And you have an interesting perspective because you've worked with Lou. You've worked with so many other Real Housewives because of your work with Lou and maybe for other reasons. And then you also, if I remember correctly, directed Tree when she was Teresa Giudice Giudice. When she was doing one of her audiobooks.
Both of her audiobooks. And I did two with Bethany also.
Okay, so what were your, how surprising, if not at all, were your experiences with like Bethany and Teresa versus Luann?
Well, Bethany was who was my favorite and probably still is, if I'm really being honest, of like all the housewives ever anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll always go back to Bethany. Okay. But when I worked with her, she was completely like cold and like no charm turned on for me at all until the very last day of one of them where she warmed up a little, but still not a lot.
Is it cold in the sense that she is like brutally efficient where she's like, I'm giving you my voice, but I'm not giving you anything
else? Like,
or
is
it disrespectful?
No, it was never disrespectful.
Yeah.
But it was like crazy unfriendly. Like, I mean, I had done audiobooks in that same job with Hillary Clinton and Meryl Streep and, you know, everybody was like Republican, crazy, you know, far right wing people who were like, hey, how you doing? What'd you think about the what do you want for lunch? You know, and Bethany was just like, just not friendly.
Well, I remember at the peak of unfriendly stuff was when she was doing her talk show and every day Page Six was like, here she is being a shit to somebody and everybody's crying. I mean,
she was not at all shitty to me. And she certainly never did anything to make me cry except in my just disappointment of like, I guess we're not going to be best friends. Mm-hmm. To the point, though, when I met her again, when I was first started working with Luann, I was shocked Bethany remembered me and was so nice to me.
Oh, my God. Well,
because
that's great.
I would have never thought she'd remember me.
Well, I also wonder, I mean, during her talk show stuff, that was like peak, I want to say, Jason stuff, too. So she was probably under a significant amount of stress. And also the show was not doing well. So that can change anybody and break anybody in half.
But I was surprised that she remembered me. I mean, you know, but
which books?
It was the last one was I Suck at Relationships, So You Don't Have to.
Yeah.
And I want to say the other one was 10 Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, but that's not the name of one of her books. Something Rules.
Okay,
Maybe Skinny Girl Rules.
Ugh, nightmare. But the I Suck at Relationships, I remember thinking that was like such a weird.
It was so weird. That's the book where she'll be like, Dr. Amador says, Dr. Amador. And then she like reads like some fucking quote from Dr. Amador, you know.
That he emailed to her. Because I don't think they had sessions unless it was on camera. That's not me being shady. I really don't know.
I have no idea. She certainly didn't read them with any feeling or intonation.
So that was sort of a surprising introduction to a different aspect of Bethany.
Yeah, because I just thought of her as just this like Rhoda Morgenstern, like America's favorite funny Jewish girl that I wanted to be like best friends with. And Teresa, who I had been a fan of on the show, although certainly with somewhat of a grain of salt, ever increasingly as I would come on Andy's Girls and you would make eloquent cases for why I was wrong to fan her, to stan her. But Teresa was just like an absolute like love bucket. Like I just like loved her so much working with her. And she was so nice to me afterwards. And that, you know, she just seemed like such a like warm fuzzies, like nurturing, like Italian mom.
And where in her life was she at that point?
The first one was she was fresh out of prison.
Wow. It was like turning the tables or flipping
tables
or whatever. Okay.
And then the second one was
more tables.
Standing strong.
Right.
More
right.
tables. empty chairs and empty tables. that was like 2 years later, something like that.
And was there a difference?
No, not at all. Not in how she was with me. Although it was, I will say, she was different. It says something about maybe what the climate is like amongst the housewives and explains maybe part of how they all, what they all go through. Because she was so great to me in all of our interactions. I will say that like when I invited her to Luann's show and it was like a crazy night because like Sonia was there too and like Deborah Cox randomly. It was just like a, you
Broadway
know.
Broadway stars and
yeah. It was just like people and, you know, whoever was the guests that night. It just was like kind of a scene. And she was, I want to say like one of the Kims was there that night. Not up in the green room. Not like.
No.
They weren't. That was the different night.
Okay.
But there was some random like friends of like. Maybe it was just like
Rose. No, not Rose.
It might have been like just before like Barbara Kay was on.
Okay, got it.
I knew her. Okay. You know, but there was just like a lot of people upstairs.
Hangers on.
At 54 Below. And like I definitely felt like Teresa was like not like my girl in the same way that I had felt, you know. And I think it's like it is kind of like Jennifer. I mean, we'll get into New Jersey, I'm sure, but like I had like interacted with her on before she came to see Luann, and she was like so sweet. And then the night, I'm sure you heard about this night, because it was the, when we were doing the show in like Jersey, like right over the bridge, like Inglewood Cliffs, I think. And it was in the audience that night was Jennifer, Margaret, and Jackie.
Okay.
And they, you know, in the Q&A, oh God, I hope I can remember what they, I can't believe you don't know this.
I'm staring at him with like the blankest. I forget things.
Because this was out. This was out there.
Okay.
It was so crazy. I mean, there was no cameras. It was just, they just all came. And like.
Love that.
But so like then during the Q&A, I wish I could remember because you would appreciate it. But they basically used the Q&A to ask Luann questions that were for the entire audience that was Housewives fans, like crazy shade at the other ones.
Oh,
but that Luann
in their cast?
But yeah, that were there. But
and Luann doesn't know.
Luann doesn't fucking know. She's answering these questions at face value. Just like completely.
She's like, I actually don't know who you guys are.
Yeah, total 100%.
Yeah, I think real New York Housewives watched the other Housewives the least of
yeah.
any
franchise. Well, and also they had just started on the show. Mm. Like, you know, I'm sure like Luann probably knows like what's up with like
100%.
The OGs and everything, you know, but like it was just like, huh? And like and the audience was like completely plugged into it, like, ooh, girl. And Luann's just like, well, I mean, I guess if someone came to my shows and bought my book and came to my signings.
Right.
Jackie. I would think they were a great,
right.
cool, fabulous person, right?
Yeah.
And like the audience was like, Luann, you don't get it.
And essentially, so Teresa or whomever was probably saying like Jackie was a fan and like wasn't a real
yeah, whatever that thing was.
Whatever
you know,
the thing was.
Yeah. I don't remember. It was something going on the show and they all were throwing it back at each other. Jennifer and Jackie were like,
I mean,
so vicious. You know?
I love that. Not if it's like super ugly, but like if
well,
it's
it wasn't
not,
ugly, but it was just so
intense.
Crazy. I mean, it was like, it shocked me because I was just like, what? Why? Like, who are they doing that for? It made me just see how kind of real it all is, too, because, like, whatever's the, you know, I mean, of course, I'm sure as, like, I have you devoured Dave Quinn's book and Brian Moylan's book, you know. So, I know there's that whole thing about, like, Jersey season 3 or whatever, where they filmed the two seasons back to back, and so there was fights going on at the season 2 reunion that they couldn't say what they were about because they were already filming season 3 in the drama. Or I may be getting the numbers wrong.
I haven't had a chance to read Dave's, but I will. They sent me a couple copies.
You have to read it. It's first
know,
of all, the book is so good.
Brian's is incredible. Brian's is
totally.
Like,
but and they,
beyond
but they complement each other. There's
oh,
so much.
Good. Okay. Love Brian's.
And but there's some specific thing that happened with Jersey where it was like they were not allowed to have their fight at the reunion because it was for next season already that they were halfway through filming.
Yeah.
But so, but in more subtle ways over the years, there have been times when they act like the fight on camera is about one thing, but they're really pissed about something else. But what did become clear to me, like, is that when they hate each other, the hate is real. Mm-hmm. Whatever the details are getting fudged, the hatred is pure.
I mean, you can sort of tell it even in, I absolutely agree. And like, even in Teresa's asides where she's like talking about Gia, talking about her clothing line, something, Melissa could really learn a lesson on because you know that she believes it. You can tell if something is real or not. And I do believe that New Jersey right now, regardless of how you feel about the people involved, is the realest of anything happening. It's the real, because people are sharing incredibly vulnerable aspects. You can tell if someone doesn't like another person. And even if they're fighting about something related to the show mechanics, it feels pretty real.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think all the seasons are real in their second halves. You know, I think that like they're more fakey in the beginnings of the seasons when they're just doing a lot of filming, a lot of lunches, and a lot of conversations that are going to like are one of six similar lunches that didn't get used. And these are the ones that they can sort of figure out a way to make it tie into the drama that winds up happening later, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so torn about this Jersey season. I mean, I'm loving watching it, but I'm like, it's like I was saying, I saw Luann a few weeks ago when she came to my show at Club Coming.
Phenomenal.
And we were talking I was like, what's going on with New York? This is before the
announcement.
Thank you. What? How you say anuncios? And so I don't know if she didn't know yet or she just didn't want to tell me.
I don't think she fucking knew.
But so she said, I don't know. Yeah. And I was like, well, anyway, what do you care? You're on the best show on television, Ultimate Girls Trip. And we got to talking about it and she was like, oh, I'm so glad you like it, you know. And I was like, oh, my God, I love it so much. Except so I said, the one thing I'll say is, though, like last season of New York, which I know everybody was like harshing on, I actually really enjoyed last season of New York. Boy. And even Ramona. Did you and I already have this conversation?
No, we definitely. I haven't spoken to you in like 100 years.
Like I, but it's honestly, we probably did have it 7 years ago because it's how I felt about Ramona every single season of the show.
Okay.
Where I start off the season being like, I'm not sure I care about Ramona. Then by halfway through the season, I'm like, I fucking hate Ramona. She needs to be off the show. I'm so fucking sick of her shit. And then somehow by the end, I'm always like, yeah, I mean, you know, that's Ramona. And I've always felt that way until Ultimate Girls Trip, where I was just like, I'm so fucking sick of it. I'm done. I'm fucking done.
Really?
Because it's like, you know, she's just the ultimate in that fake victim bullshit. Yeah. You know, it's like she's very like...
She had a hard childhood.
And I'm not trying to tie it into like her politics or whatever, but it is very like white, like
she's a
fragility.
Yeah.
Like in the worst way. Not the, even the subtle way that we all need to look at ourselves, but like the All Lives Matter march, the like get the straight pride. Like that's just so Ramona, you know? And it's like, it's real. That's a thing.
I know. It's so dumb. It's a thing. No one has ever gotten laid. Yeah. How would they even know?
Yeah, I know.
How would they
But like
even
that's
know?
What she is. All the bullshit that she talks about. And I was just, and it was so great like watching people just like fucking demolish her, like, you know, on Ultimate Girls Trip. And,
yeah, like the cast members.
And yeah, and I was just like, I'm over it. And I'm really ready for Ramona just to be permanently canceled. So I said this to Luann.
Okay.
And Luann's like, yeah, but she's great television. And I was like, and I was just sort of like, at the time, I was just like, oh, okay. But like in my mind, I'm like, I don't know. And so then I'm watching like, I mean, okay, now I'm like just jumping ahead. Is
I'm
this okay?
So into this.
Because like, I mean,
you go on your journey.
We need to have like our like
we will.
Reconciling about New Jersey, because I have to say like over the last couple years of watching Jersey in between the last time I came on Andy's Girls and now, like even though I will always have love for Teresa, like I mean, she has just been like a sucky person on the show. And like and I just up until this last week, I've been just watching it being like, either she doesn't want to be there. It kind of reminds me of like Lisa Vanderpump last couple seasons of Beverly Hills that
Checked
she was
out.
On, where it's like she's so hating this experience and bringing nothing positive to it and just like so horrible. And I've just been like, just really like kind of just like wanting her to be off.
Mm-hmm.
Although this week, weirdly, even though she in a way was like at her worst, I kind of a little bit was like, well, maybe I don't. I have to say, you know, I love Margaret Josephs. Like, I mean, but I will say sometimes I love Margaret Josephs more on Twitter than I do on TV.
Wow.
Because like I feel like on TV, she's like so she comes across to me on the show like so. I mean, I never don't like her. I always want to like hang out with Margaret. She's such the like fabulous, like great, like you know, like fag hag, whatever, you know. But like, but on the show, sometimes to me, Margaret seems very like calculated or something. You know, calculated is too strong of a word, but she's definitely that next gen of Housewives who like, yeah, I've been watching the show. I don't, you know, I don't make the dumb mistakes. I want to come across good on TV, and I kind of enjoyed what Teresa brought out in Margaret this week, how Margaret was just like, no, Teresa, no, I'm not doing that. And like, if Teresa got in Margaret's face, Margaret was responding. But Margaret was very like, I felt like Margaret was just like, you're so crazy, you're so wrong, you're so illogical and stupid. I can't even, I'm sorry, I can't bother with you. And it was very real. And I loved watching Margaret just be like, get away from me, crazy person. Like, I got nothing to say to you.
Well, and also you're acting like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call you – like what part of me calling you a piece of shit do you not understand?
Yeah.
I will repeat it if you need to hear it. And Teresa seemed to enjoy and relish telling this person to go fuck themselves, which was
– it honestly brought out more
good
of Teresa, because I love Jennifer being united with everybody else. Like, I have seconded what Brian Moylan has been saying about Jennifer
in
the recaps,
which is
that when you when you see Jennifer with her family,
yeah,
she's like this like very like lovely person.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly the stuff about her husband and her family and her parents, like you just like you like Jennifer and you feel bad for her, the bad things, and yeah, happy for the happy things. And if she's like braggy or pretentious, I don't mind. I'm like, I want her to have a big house and have lots of money, you know. But then when she's with the girls, I've like, I think I never forgave her for that thing when she, it was sort of her and Dolores, who, of course, I love Dolores, St. Dolores of the Vernal Hours, you know, but like, she's my ultimate person. But like, when it was a kind of like Dolores and Jennifer against like Jackie and Margaret and stuff. And she was like, well, we're the traditional families. And I was like, yeah, how's that going for you at the riot, at the insurrection? I don't come for me, traditional family, you know?
Got it.
And I know she didn't mean it that way, but I didn't like it. And I, you know, and I haven't liked her playing that card. You know, I think America needs more, whatever's wrong with Jackie, at least, you know, Jackie would encourage her daughters to like study and like, you know, be independent. And I feel like, you know, there's something regressive about, you know, this, well, my family's old school. I don't, that doesn't fly. It's 2022.
Yeah.
But I feel, so I've held that against Jennifer, and she was just such a bitch with the other women in a just sort of transparent, terrible way, and always looked like a jerk to me. But now she really hasn't the last, like mostly this season. I feel like she's just been coming across really, really well across the board. And so, but anyway, what I was saying was with Jennifer united with everybody, now made up with Melissa, made up with Margaret, made up with Jackie. Teresa's isolated. I don't like Teresa as the mob boss, like doing like shady shit behind the scenes and then just acting like Ramona style, like she's the victim. But Teresa, like a rabid dog, like chasing Margaret to the picnic bench, that I'm all for. That is good TV.
I mean, when it comes to Jennifer, she has doubled. The interesting thing about Jennifer is I do think, and she's mentioned this on the show, definitely not the after show, but like I think on the show, she's talked, I think, a little bit about, I think, a little regret for aligning so closely with Teresa, because as a result, she doesn't have an intimate.
Could you say that again? My apologies.
What the fuck? Oh my God. Ben's, I don't know, iPhone. Why. I just had an actual panic attack. Whatever. I don't even know. It's on your wrist. I'm tired. Things happen.
Why does it do that? It did that the other day. I was like cooking and I had a podcast playing and it started yelling at me.
Wow.
And because I had the podcast going through the Bluetooth speakers, it was yelling at me,
you
like in my whole apartment.
That, like, you can call people on. I had a whole conversation with Ryan Houlihan about this. I am strongly against, as a, like a spiritual whatever, as a religious circumstance, as like a as a conservative ideal, I do not want a
two
watch.
Two things about
that
this
can,
watch that might change your mind.
No,
I don't
care.
Know how to use all
it's
the features.
So fucking dumb. Wear a watch that is a watch. Don't wear a computer on your wrist.
I'll tell you why I'm into it, and I'm totally not taking advantage of all the stuff it does. One thing that I love about it is that I get credit for all the steps I take around my apartment all day long.
I get that on my phone. I just
carry my phone on your body 24/7.
If I need to hit 10K, 100%, I'm going to do a little loop.
Okay, well, you have to carry it with your hand. This is attached.
Okay, whatever.
And I like that in a Broadway show, when it's getting long, or a cabaret
act. You can text?
No, I would never do that.
Okay, I was about
no, but I can see what time it is because it's electric. It's not
it's
my normal watch in the dark. No, I can't read.
It's so not worth it. It's not, I don't think, and then you have like, you can have like an Hermes cuff. I think it's ridiculous. Like people spend it, but you have it, you're wearing a computer. Why are you trying to make it look like Louis Vuitton? It's literally a computer. It's never going to look different. Why are we pretending this is like something that it's not?
You don't think this is like a handsome face modern art?
No, I think it's dumb. I think I literally, well, we're not going to get into what I have because I don't want to say that in public, but like I
you're
believe
like,
in a
I don't understand. Why is Andy's Girls not on Apple Podcasts anymore? It's so weird. Nobody can access
Wait,
it.
Wait, okay. We need to circle back. So apologies to Siri, but also go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no,
but
she's rude.
What a bitch.
She should have at least said, excuse me.
Absolutely, she should have. But circling back to Jen, I do wonder if she, I think she has mentioned this, regretting maybe the way that she has aligned with Teresa, or maybe not aligning with Teresa, but just noting that as a result of it, she really lost out on female friendships in a way that is just genuinely more layered. I think Teresa, if she even understood what I just said, would agree with that, because Teresa's looking for
no, because
alliance,
you should
unity.
Have said this is an analogy.
Right. I mean, the basic, and then the basic defense is we have Jackie, who's an attorney, Margaret, who's like fucking whip smart, Dolores, who's obviously a queen and understands it all. And then there's Teresa saying it's not technically an analogy unless you preface an analogy by saying it's an analogy because someone right before filming explained to her, reminded her of what an analogy is. So she walked in, it was her systematic bullying. She walked into that scene and was like, analogy, analogy, analogy. It's like how they coach her for analogy, 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 analogy. And everybody else in the room is like, you're wearing, God forbid, a Timex, and we all have our fucking Apple Watch bullshit. Like, catch up to us. But how do you play that game when someone is analog and you're digital? Like, that Teresa's is analog, which is
I think she's more like one of those rocks that when the sun shines, it casts the light at
but
noon.
But there's
the
there's
shadow.
Benefit to that, especially on a show like New Jersey, which purports to in many ways be related to that structure, and she's incredibly powerful in that way. But then also, how do you have these fights when this person is running a mile behind? Or maybe she's running to the right, like, and they have to catch up with her in a different case. Yeah. But like with Jen, it's like, well, you've aligned with this person who's saying these things that you understand are maybe too simplistic in this form, but you've decided to stay with her.
Well, I mean, I we'll see what happens now, because I mean, Teresa has the insane one-sided expectations of Melissa and Joe Gorga in terms of loyalty.
And Jennifer's the one who's delivering on them. Jennifer's willing to be one-sided.
But now Jennifer is very happy to be back in good graces with the other women. She says it to her husband. I mean, there's no question that Jennifer we'll see what she chooses, but she's going to be in a situation, I think, that before the season's over, where she's going to be – Teresa's going to put that to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Melissa and Joe, in a way, have kind of found a way to sort of, like, dance between those raindrops.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
Like, that's Joe good. Will just throw it back in Melissa, in Teresa's face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, why didn't you back me up? Why didn't you back me up? And she's sort of like – and Teresa can't take it. At the end of the day, she'll cry if Joe yells at her, you know? Mm-hmm. So he can win if he's willing to, like, you know, look the bully in the eye. And Melissa just kind of does this sort of elegant, sort of, like, sides. You know, she'll just mm-hmm. be like, she's like, what am I supposed to say? You know, she sort of laughs it off, even though, and you know, in her heart, she's like, this is so fucking stupid and unfair. But she sort of found a way to not get, mm-hmm. she doesn't go to the place of hostility.
Yeah.
And she just sort of shines it on. And, you know, if people be like, come on, you know Teresa's being a total bitch. She'll be like, don't make me admit the obvious thing on camera
right.
that I don't want to admit on camera because
right.
everyone knows it's true. And then Teresa's not able to follow that many words.
Right.
But Melissa didn't have to, like, completely gaslight herself over it, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like Melissa, this is a terrible comparison, so I apologize in advance, but for some reason in my head it just popped up that, like, Melissa's almost a little bit of, like, Pam from The Office, of, like, winking to the camera,
totally.
Understanding what's going on,
totally.
But also knows her place in the sense that she's
totally.
Not going to disturb her employment opportunity,
no.
but she will toe that line.
Yeah.
And she's in on the joke.
Totally.
She is in on the joke.
I mean, I think at this point, even Teresa must realize that she needs Melissa almost as much as Melissa needs her, because Teresa, part of Teresa's, like, impenetrable status on the show is because, whether they're frenemies or whatever, she's like, you know, it's that whole thing they're saying about the new casting for New York, wanting people that are already in each other's lives. I mean, you know, the Gorga Judice, like, conglomerate is just, like, what Jersey is based in, you know. Who even remembers the Manzo Laurita
I
clan?
Do. Yeah, I tried getting Chris Manzo to come to AG Live. I did my very best.
Wait, is Chris the cute one, or is the other one the cute one?
I would answer that by saying Chris is the cute one. He's younger. Remember Strip Car Wash? Like, he's funnier.
What's the other one?
Albie is the one that you want to have
like
sex with.
I like Albie.
You like a classic Manzo, and I like a little quirk.
Yeah.
Is
Wait,
how I
Wait, I have a question for you.
Please. This is you're coming back all the time. I can't believe. Did we have an I actually do now remember out loud what you were going to talk about. We did have a little bit of an estrangement for a reason.
I mean, we survived.
And it was your fault. You understand that.
That was my fault?
100% it was. Yes. And I got a little bit fucked from that. Yeah, we'll talk about that offline.
Oh my God. Okay. Wait, now I'm like, are we talking about the same thing?
Probably not. What was your question?
My question is, how do you feel about Louis?
Oh, you know what? It's tough. It's one of those things because at what point do you support someone in a potentially toxic relationship? We actually really don't know because they're making a choice. Like, at what point do we respect Teresa in the sense of saying you have gotten so many examples of concerns from people, but you are making a choice and we're going to support you? Like, my sense of things is that this is a very bad dynamic to step into. Not even a bad person, but there seems to be a lot of toxic energy in Louis's life. And the way that he essentially lied or misrepresented his time at like fucking warrior camp in relationship with the woman that he proposed to in that weird beach video, like those are all warning signs. But also, you know, you make a choice to stay in a relationship. Like, it's a conversation I had with my dad 150 years ago after a bad breakup. And I remember I was like, I said to someone, I was like, I was at Temple. So I was going up the escalator at Saks. And I was just in my safe space of my religious experience, called my dad crying and essentially was like, how do you know that someone's the one? And my dad's response was, you make the choice for them to be. You, like, it's not you meet someone. My parents married for over 50 years. My dad's response was essentially, you make the choice to be with someone. You make a choice for them to be the one. And with Teresa, she has made a choice for Louis to be the one. So at what point do you nod and just continue your life? I think the problem here is that Teresa won't let go that people have questions. So she has decided to misrepresent Margaret and the rest of the cast, echoing what the Bravo community did, and is now pretending that Margaret created all of this. And it's like, first off, court documents from a decade ago started it. Your relationship with him is the reason that people are talking about it. No one gives a shit about this random fucking guy with like questionable income, maybe from wherever the fuck, New Jersey. The reason that people are talking about it is because he's dating and is now engaged to a celebrity who we follow and talk about, who's very famous based on her personal life, including romantic relationships. So, but because Teresa refuses to understand that this did not start with Margaret, but she wants to punish Margaret for talking about it on camera, that's the situation that we're in.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear Teresa wants to punish Margaret because Teresa is mad that Teresa had to be the bad guy when, like, Danielle, like, whatever happened with Danielle and Margaret.
That you think it's related to the hair pull?
I think Teresa's still mad at. I think Teresa hates Margaret. Teresa had to eat crow after that situation.
Wouldn't Teresa then be mad at production? Why is Margaret the one to blame? Production's the one who was like, or Melissa's the one who was like, we're using this, it's going to be used on camera. Like, that wasn't Margaret's choice. No, Margaret was the one who was just there with hair.
But I think Teresa hates the victim. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
interesting.
I think, because Teresa had to be the, that was the only time we've ever seen Teresa
eat shit,
have to eat shit.
Ever.
And I think that she's still sore about that. I think she was waiting for an excuse to come for Margaret.
That's interesting.
And I think she's also making Margaret an example because it's part of Teresa's sort of like lizard, like alpha dog thing. Mm. That it's like, you talk about my family, don't ask questions. It's none of your business. Like, she, you know, and she just wants to like, she's trying to bully Margaret so that nobody will ask questions because either she's happy with Louis or she's chosen to be happy with Louis. I mean, I don't know. I haven't followed the story that closely of like the until I'll take what you tell me at face value. But where I was before I walked into your apartment today and sorry, into the clawfist was
you for that correction. Thank
hashtag
you.
Clawfist was
clawfist party.
Andy's clawfist.
Sponsored by
AGC. Like that, like
AGC. Now I think it's JCC. I'm like, that is why I feel so homely. Yeah.
Like I thought, like, you know, I heard people say, why did he say the video was about breaking up with her? He proposes to her in the video or whatever.
I literally just said that 2 seconds
ago. But I had heard people say that. But yeah. I'll take it at face value if you say that. But when I heard that before, I was like, I don't know. I didn't watch the whole video. I don't know the context. You know, I don't. That seems like a weird thing to lie about if there's a video where he's saying.
And yet here we are. That's why people are like, why is he so obviously lying?
Well, but then it's like, you know, and then the other stuff, like, I mean, I had not heard court documents until you just said that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, like, it seemed like, you know, if there was people that said that he was abusive in their weird Jersey circle of like, you know, and he doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't seem like abusive. He's not, if Teresa said, if he hasn't hit Teresa.
Well, there are different kinds of abuse, emotionally manipulative behaviors.
When he was on the show and he said to her, when he was like trying to like control her behavior and her like out of control fight with those people, I was glad. I didn't think he was doing it in an aggressive way that was threatening or made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe so. But Teresa's like a crazy person. And I thought what he was doing was not only the right thing. Maybe it was the wrong thing to do in their relationship in the way he interacted with her. But what he was advocating for her to do would have been better for her, not only as a human being in her interactions with those other people, but better for her strategically on the show to not look like an asshole. So I liked that finally somebody was fucking, you know, because Joe Giudice was never going to be the voice of reason in Teresa's ear, you know?
Yeah.
And Joe Giudice was literally on camera abusive to her. Yeah. Hey, you shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
So this to me seemed like a huge upgrade as far as Teresa's relationship status. If it turns out that it's true what is alleged that he did to those other women, you know, then that's a very huge red flag. But I assume she doesn't believe it or thinks that he's changed.
Well,
and he has not exhibited any behavior that she has admitted to, you know, or that we've seen on camera that seems like that would be the case.
Well, there is the love bombing of it all. There is this whole like Brooks Ayers style. Here's 20 reasons why I love you. Go on girls trip. Here's a letter every day to open. Like some very classic questionable stuff where it's such performative affection.
Yeah, but like calling something out because it's performative in a bad way.
It's not abuse.
When it's on a reality show where they're – everything they're doing is performative. Like, so who knows if he would have been that way if they were not filming.
And also the murky gray area of like a quote unquote abusive relationship is that sometimes the warning signs are not present in the sense that the person who is being abused is working their ass off to ensure that there are no warning signs present. But we don't I personally think that they are in an abusive cycle of some kind. Personally, as of right now, I have truly no idea. My instinct is no. What I think people are talking about is not that. What people are talking about is the fact that, like, please just respond to previous warning signs or just answer questions totally. That are being discussed.
She
won't do it.
No, no. There's no question in that issue. Teresa's a fucking stupid, crazy maniac. Like, I mean, she's off the leash.
I've defended her since.
No one's defended her more than I have.
I know.
But in as far as what you're describing with Margaret and the show and Teresa, she's absolutely wrong and crazy, and she looks like a huge asshole. I was just saying, honestly, in the question of what do we think about the Louis thing, I don't know. Given her history and who she is and how she acts, I'm not against Louis yet. Like, and by the way, part of what's so crazy about Teresa is that, like, I haven't even heard the other women, like, for all we know, they're all very nice to Louis. Like, none of them, I mean, if anything, you could argue, like, you know, if you really believe, like, let's say that you were like, no, there are court documents. I actually met with his ex-wife.
He was
abusive. This is a real thing. Like, maybe these people should be stronger advocates for Teresa not to be in this relationship with him. But that's not what they're doing. They're really innocently asking very vague questions that are already out there. They're not introducing the topic. And Teresa's a maniac. No question.
Well, I mean, and that was also the worst part, but also such a quick and spot on comeback, like ace in the hole style. But when Teresa was like, you're probably the one, you know, like you're the one saying whatever the line was, like you're the one saying that Louis is abusive. And Margaret immediately was like, no, that's his ex-girlfriends. Like, there, who know, it's such a complicated, serious situation that, like, and when it gets into like any kind of like, what, how do you quantify abuse? Because there's emotional abuse, there's a presence of toxicity that's emblematic potentially of other signs of things to come, there's manipulative behavior, there's, you know, a lot of different avenues and a lot of gray area. And I think that Teresa is making this so much darker and more gray than it needs to be by her behavior. But I think it's also because and this is not a critique of her, I think she is desperate to get the love, love, love that she feels that she has lost the entirety of her adult life so far. She was married in a very dark, sad, you know, difficult marriage. She had to go to jail as a prison camp, not jail camp, like literally prison, federal prison as a result of it. And it's now finally met this person. And also, no, she has to stay on this fucking show because she's supporting her four kids and whatever else. Like, I think it's probably an incredibly difficult dynamic. And I just hate the way that she is kind of soured, I think, this season as a result of it, because but she's so upset.
You didn't think she had soured the last couple seasons?
I mean, I don't know. I think that she has been a little bit extra hands-off since she came back from camp, but she also was a lot lighter the season immediately after she came back.
No, she was at her most likable fresh out of prison. And, you know, but I feel like for the last couple years, like definitely during the whole thing with where she was like taking Danielle's side.
Right, that was a mess.
And just even the fact that she like was like bringing Danielle on to begin with.
Yeah.
Forget even how much she took Danielle's side after Danielle behaved that way.
Right.
But bringing her back, how do you not know better? Like, Danielle, like, come on. I mean, Danielle is really like, you know, whatever else you can say about all the housewives, Danielle is like not even on their level.
I don't think Teresa, aside from Danielle calling her when she was going through family tragedy, I don't think Teresa ever believed that Danielle was an angel. She was doing it as a fuck you to Jacqueline. Like, it was like, Jacqueline's gone, Danielle's coming back. This, you don't think?
Sure. No, that makes sense. But it's just crazy, like, to introduce that element.
Well, I'm sure production was like, Teresa, you know who's like really into you and will not fuck with you this time, but we would like to get her back on the show. Is Danielle.
Right.
I don't think Teresa was like, beep, 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 let me go.
I guess I'm being naive. I mean, obviously the producers brought
Back. No, and I don't know. I don't know that it's necessarily being naive. I just think that they're...
But how could she even just align herself with Danielle? I mean, like...
I don't think she cares that much. I think Teresa is like, I have all this power in the show. I like doing the show, or I know I'm doing the show. It is a set, substantial income. My kids, you know, it provides the life to which, you know, I've become pretty comfortable. And now she's being forced to have to adjust the realization that her power is still intact. The show definitely still depends on her, but she's not necessarily going to get away with the stuff that she's been able to get away with so long. And what we're seeing is anger and frustration at that. That's all being misdirected Margaret's way. Not to say that she doesn't deserve some of it, you know, obviously, but it's everything else. The way that at that fucking like ladder base tree camp
by
thing,
the way,
what?
All tea, all shade to the new girl. What's her name?
Tracy.
Tracy. She's very pretty. But every time she talked on this episode, I kept having to remind myself she wasn't someone that worked at the ladder place, but she was actually one of the cast members.
Oh, poor thing.
Although her husband is fabulous.
Her husband is fabulous. But like,
by the way, Jersey Husbands, that's a show.
I think we're watching it. It's called The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
I think that they essentially have at least 40% of it at
this
point.
Totally, right? I mean, they're so good. I mean, although their Atlantic City gig did not look that good.
No, they went on tour with like a Frank Sinatra impersonator or something.
I don't know. Maybe that should be my next directing gig. They need some structure.
I would absolutely love to see it. But wait, why?
Because when they showed Melissa and who was she with? Dolores laughing in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I just hooked my boot onto my other boot, and there we go.
Cool.
I was like attached.
You don't want to leave.
I'm staying. they looked the way they were laughing. It looked like in Waiting for Guffman when the dentist's wife is watching him on stage, like being supportive.
Oh my god. Wait, why were we talking about the base tree camp?
Oh, because you were saying that how she acted that day. How Teresa acted, like, because she's mad that she's not being able to, like, have all the power.
100%. And so I think it's, like, directed. Some of it is deserved Margaret's way, but it's also the understanding.
How do you feel Margaret deserves it?
Well, because Margaret's not willing to let it go. In Teresa's eyes, Margaret is continuing to play this game. And Teresa has already said to her, game over. Like, you should not continue to talk about this. Why are we talking about this? And then Margaret's like, well, Just to clarify, I'm not making a judgment. I'm asking a question.
That's Margaret being calculating, though, right, when she does that. Like, because Margaret knows it'll make it. That's just her generating drama for the screen.
This is me being dead serious. What does even calculating mean if a large portion of the Bravo community is talking about something that affects the show and the point of what you're talking about while filming is related to these people that you're filming with? So like, how much of that is calculation and how much of that is just like the earth is round? Something is being discussed relating to a person's new-ish beau, like new boyfriend.
But Margaret could stop introducing the topic.
It's actually not even Margaret stopping introducing the topic. It's Teresa angry at Margaret for raising questions and Margaret trying to explain that she wasn't
But you were saying Margaret maybe deserves some of that anger.
In Teresa's eyes.
Oh, gotcha.
And if you're gonna, like, literally, this is one of those things of, like, the Sutton on Beverly Hills of it all, is, like, Sutton got
also
the...
Also, not my favorite housewife.
Oh, God, you're so wrong. But, like, but when it comes to, like, Sutton was representative in Erica's eyes because she became the spokesperson, but everybody else asked questions. So when Margaret was in, which Margaret,
let me be clear, I was not mad at Sutton for asking
questions. I know.
I love Erica, but I do not support her in her, like, she and Teresa, I don't know what fucking network they think they're on where they don't get asked questions.
They're on Bravo, apparently. Yeah. It's worked for them for a while.
But, like, yeah, but no way. I hate that. I hate when they do that. I've loved Erica from the beginning, but, like, I've always hated, like, when she got mad at Eileen Davidson,
yeah,
who has a...
Don't talk about... You have no idea what I deal with at night.
What the fuck was that? Eileen Davidson. She did... Eileen's problem was she was too nice for the show. She was not stirring any shit.
I mean, Erica Jane, thinking about that quote, you have no idea what I deal with at night, that is quite literally very true. We would like to know more, but now you won't tell us. Yeah. Like, let's continue that. Let's yes and that moment.
But it was a world full of no's.
But with Teresa, I mean, it's like the conversation goes on, because I do think that there's the way that we used to talk about Jersey has changed in my head. I have grown on Teresa. I have become much more curious about her and empathetic and toward her journey. It just so happens that this season she's just a fucking mess. But it's Teresa at her most absolutely guttural, and she's just playing the game wrong, except maybe she's not. She's just playing, if we're going to go to a celebrity charity softball thing, Teresa is playing her game by herself, and she's probably playing it to her team. And Jen, regardless of what she's saying in the moment, is not going to get off that team as of right now, and she will always have aspects of Dolores. Like, Dolores will stand up for her and try to translate.
Well, Dolores even backed her up on the, like, Dolores was just standing silent. She's like, yeah, why didn't you say it was an analogy?
I mean, and I was like, Dolores, but she doesn't in a way where I was like, all right, like, Dolores is, you, like,
Dolores,
we're gonna play
the
in
thing
this
about
universe.
No matter what,
she's so likable.
Dolores takes, she's always likable.
She's always likable.
She's the greatest.
Can I ask you your thoughts on the Gia participation of it all?
I didn't like that because I love Gia. Yeah. I mean, of all Teresa's daughters, Gia's not my number one favorite. But
who's your number one?
Like the weird, like Gabriella, but, like, you know, the one that's, like, not really a Judice, basically.
That's,
you know,
Damian Valino.
But, you know,
one
but I also like love Melania, who's just like fucking tough as shit, but if you bring up her father, she just, like,
she's
cries.
Like,
it's just, like,
wonderful.
A heart on a sleeve.
You know what? The best
and, like,
thing Teresa ever did was
little
raise those kids.
Adriana this week. Normally, Adriana, even, I don't know how old she got overnight. I feel like...
I know. She's, like, 12
Two
now.
Weeks ago, Adriana was 4.
I know.
And then this time, she was, like, running up the stairs going, Gia, don't touch my face.
Yeah, no, it's insane. But wait, what are your thoughts on Gia?
Well, I just, like... Because, like, I really like it. The side of Gia I like best is when Gia's, like... Oh, Mom, why did you do that?
Right.
You're just stepping in dog shit again, you know? But, like, I don't like when Gia's like, she always supports your stuff. I'm like, Gia, you're too good for this. Like, you're smart. You should be pointing, like, Teresa in the right direction, not backing her up on her, like, fool's errands.
I mean, in the moment after that scene when she said, like, Margaret's being a bitch to me or whatever, I was like, oh, this isn't helpful, because she literally wasn't. She was
not
just saying, this person told me I was a piece of shit. I'm not going to wear her apparel at a charity game. I'm not going to monetize charity to support Teresa's legging work.
Yeah, and also the way Margaret talked to Gia
was
very, like, it was... not only not inappropriate,
it was respectful.
It was more than respectful. It was clear that Margaret was like, I'm not mad at you, honey. I'm just having a thing with your mom. Like, she was so not scary or weird.
But
you know?
She didn't say yes. And right. maybe that's the family tradition. Yeah. Is like, this person wasn't nice to me because they didn't agree. I don't believe
that's
saying that.
That's so well said. This person wasn't nice to me because they didn't agree. I mean, that's the ultimate, like, you know, self-victimizing attitude. Like, you know, people don't owe you to have your way.
And I say that out loud, noting that I don't know that that's fair to Gia, me saying that in that moment. But it could be real. I don't know.
Well, how are you not fair? I think you were spot on.
Okay. All right. I mean,
it's either that or Gia was just purposely starting shit, but she definitely didn't care.
She wasn't.
You know?
No, thank God. Do you want kids to join Housewives? Do you want it to be a next generation in that way? Like, could you see a place for Gia in 10 years? No, that's psychotic. She's 20 years old. How would
that
even work?
10 years from now, we'll be like in the Tiffany Trump administration. What?
Yes, that is literally where we will be. That is where we will be.
So I'm going to be on Mars.
I love my optimism and thinking like we're at year 16, baby. Where are we at 26? I'm trying to cast it in my brain.
Well, even if it ends, it could always come back. I mean, yeah, I think, I mean, unless, who knows what's going to happen to the universe, but I think it's safe to bet, to whatever extent there's some iteration of this kind of show 10, 20, 30 years from now, if not Gia. Some of the spawn of this OGs will be in that mix.
Can I ask you a question? Of any franchise, which housewife do you think has the greatest potential to be there in 10 years?
Like still on, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
or maybe come back.
It's hard to answer that other than like with my like heart, which is different than trying to be smart and like, you know.
What would your heart say?
Oh, well, actually, I realized before I even thought of my heart. I mean, the number one answer would be Bethany, just because she's always been the biggest star with the most outside, you know. I mean, Bethany certainly is different than Jill Zarin, you know, who Bethany can text Andy and she'll be back on the show.
Yeah.
No questions asked. Whereas, like, Jill Zarin has been texting Andy every day since 2014.
I mean, Bethany's one of probably 5 out of 130. Sure.
But in addition to that, I mean, she's really so famous outside of it.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else could be above Bethany in the terms of, like, you know, Nene didn't quite have the business success that Bethany had. Mm-hmm. And then, like, her acting career didn't go so well. So she hasn't sustained the celebrity level outside the show, but Nene is almost at that level, and Nene is actually like really, really like there's a joy in Bethany and in Nene on the show, whereas Bethany
when she's
so pissed to have to be there,
right?
You know?
But Nene the last couple seasons was tapped out. I think there's a certain level of exhaustion that's understandable in the sense of like I broke out of this.
But
why am I back?
Bethany sounds exhausted even when she has energy. Like,
no,
so she's at a disadvantage. Right. We need to get some sparkle in
she
her.
Also moved to Connecticut, which I didn't know that we allowed.
Well,
Luann
hasn't technically lived in New York in so many
years.
Does
she live in...
No, she does. I think she's on the Upper East Side now. I'm not sure.
Upper E?
Yeah, went back.
To here?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Upper West.
She had been on the Upper West the entire time I was working with her.
Yeah.
But as of maybe a year ago or so, or 2 years ago.
Shut up.
Yeah.
How do we not see? Well, because I guess we haven't filmed in a minute.
Maybe she gave that up. But in the pandemic, recently. She was living on the Upper East Side.
That's so interesting. Because now Jill and Ramona live in the same building on the Upper E.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a spinoff.
Talk about toxic.
Talk about something. You know I die for Jill. My toesies are on a Jill Zarin rug. I am obsessed with Jill Zarin.
Did they come with a MAGA hat?
I can't with you. Why are you making my life so complicated?
Just saying.
I can't.
USA.
This is 100%. What a wild note to end on. Tell us a little bit. Give us a little elevator pitch for your show. Your oh my God, there's a word. Words are fun. Residency at Club Comic.
Oh, residency. Hello. Hey, hey. Well, every Monday night at 8 p.m., Club Coming in the East Village, my comedy partner, Daniel Nolan, and
who
I
created the illustration for Andy's Girls. Yes,
multifaceted
an
artist.
An accomplished graphic design. Graphic design. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm literally out. Graphic designer. Yep. Continue.
What was the word before? I forgot.
I don't know.
I couldn't think of it.
The.
Oh, announcement.
Yeah.
every Monday at 8, Daniel and I do cast-offs at Club Coming. And it's a Broadway comedy variety and game show.
Oh my God.
And it's free. And it's just an hour long. And we have fabulous guests singing songs in tribute to different divas that we appreciate. Sort of our version of Satchels of Gold.
Ooh.
Is that on our live stream during the pandemic, we had a segment called Appreciation Station. We took the word appreciate from Patti LuPone's famous Gypsy rant, where she said that along with the rest of the cast of Gypsy, that other than the person that was taking photographs, who she said stopped taking pictures, that they appreciated them following the rules.
Love that.
So we have Appreciation Station, and when is this coming out?
This weekend.
So this Monday, the April 4th, excuse me.
Yeah.
We will be appreciating the great Anne Harada of Avenue Q and Schmigadoon.
Great. And a lot of TV.
A lot of TV. And we have Alex Chester. She was Alan Cumming's wife on Schmigadoon.
Oh, great.
We have Alex Chester coming to pay tribute. And then the following week, the 11th, we're paying tribute to Carolee Carmello. And we have Alicia Umfriss coming.
An iconic gin.
Iconic.
Well, and Strawberry Blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we are launching soon on Broadway Podcast Network the new cast-offs podcast. But
amazing.
In the meantime, they can listen to our old podcast, Ben Rimmelauer's Broken Records.
And it's free at Club Coming. Do people need a reserve, a ticket?
No reservation, no tickets, no cover, no minimum, no nothing. And it's really fun, and they can win fabulous prizes in the games we play.
Oh my God, I'm gonna come to it, you guys.
You gotta come. It's so fun. It's so fun.
It's gonna be great. Would you ever do like a... I mean, Lou theme. She is a Broadway star. She was sort of almost on Chicago in that she announced she was going.
Well, we
and
don't
then we
do.
Never heard
we don't
that
do
again.
Almost Broadway.
Okay. I want to see you do a Patti LuPone night and then the next night Luann de Lesseps.
We did Patti LuPone. I think that was our first one, actually.
Oh yeah.
But I'm sure we'll do her again. Never.
I mean,
you know,
how
I never
you
get
not?
Tired of Patti.
I went to company.
Who could ever get tired of that ass?
Oh, Benjamin. And where can people follow you online to send you angry DMs?
I am Ben Rimmelauer on all social media. Although I do not create content on TikTok, I do watch.
Okay. And while you're watching the ticks and the talks, guys, are you an Andy's Girls Patreon supporter? I put 2 new bonus episodes up, one giving behind the scenes tea on Andy's Girls 300 with participation by the Queen, Amy Phillips, and had a little recording that we couldn't play at AG 300, so I have it on the Patreon episode, and also did a live reaction to the trailer for the upcoming Atlanta season. And then there is a premium level on Patreon, the People's Patreon Couch. So I have a bonus episode up talking to an AG from London about Ladies of London, New York, Ramona, Vanderpump Rules. She was incredible. So if you want to follow those conversations, which were honestly so much fun, and support Andy's Girls, you can get exclusive bonus episodes, invites to special events, and as this AG did, the opportunity to record a Patreon episode with yours truly. That would be me. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls, and also follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley, and let me know your thoughts on this episode, which is quite a little journey. I can't wait to do the edit on some of this. So that'll be all never here. Guys, I hope you're all doing okay, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.